This is the Tom Likas Show.
You're a goddamn genius. You are a goddamn genius.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
L-I-V-I-N.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at tomeverywhere.com. That's tomeverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again, you and me, and a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And our guest in this hour to answer your legal questions is family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, welcome to the program. You have a guest coming in with us. Tell us who that is.
Oh, Tom, this is a beauty tonight. This is really something interesting I think the audience is really going to appreciate, and I've been working on getting this person to come on for quite a few weeks, and I'm really excited that he's here with us tonight. Now, Tom, this is a bit off of the whole Likas 101 doctrine, okay? But I think what we would categorize this case, in particular this person's life, is turning lemons into lemonade. How's that?
Okay.
He didn't follow the Likas 101 rules. And I certainly want him to tell us himself. But basically, he had a child with a woman at a pretty young age and lost touch with that child. And miraculously, that child emerged later on, and I helped him. And now he is able to be in touch with that child. And we have a very, very happy ending, would you believe? So let's bring him on.
All right. Here he is. This is Pablo.
Pablo.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Great to have you on, Pablo.
Very good. Good.
So I was starting to say you were fooling around with a girl when you were a teenager, right?
Yeah, this was in high school. I was around 18. She was about 16 years old.
All right. So there's mistake number one, I would say, right? So a little incautious, and she ended up getting pregnant, right?
Yeah, that very first time, it only took about 5 minutes, and bam, she was pregnant.
It was amazing. Now, Dad has always said you got to wear a condom, you got to protect yourself, but I guess you were a little into the moment, I suppose, eh?
Yeah, I came from a Mexican family. You know how some parents don't really want to talk about that in Mexican families?
Right. Very unfortunate.
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, you must have been very shocked at 18 to hear that, and I think you kind of tried to disappear, right? Like, how did you handle that?
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, young, stupid, immature, you know, I didn't know what to do, so I just kind of just ran away from the situation and hoped it would go away sometime, but it didn't, you know?
Right. Now, my understanding is that she then kind of did her own thing, had the kid, and you didn't talk to her for years, right?
Oh, yeah. So they came looking for me, actually. But
who's they? That's her family?
Yeah, her mom and her dad came looking for me because she knew where I lived. So she came looking for me, but at that same time, I moved to a different place.
Oh, wow.
And she told me she put in child support, but for some reason they couldn't find me.
It's amazing, by the way, how women are really efficient about that, you know? Somehow they're always able to file the whole child support thing, right? But apparently they didn't know where to locate you, so that never really came to anything, right?
Right, and then,
I guess that's one way of dealing with it.
Yeah. So, I mean, she tried to contact me through MySpace. This was in the MySpace days.
Right.
And then she would also try to look for me on Facebook. She sent me a few messages, but
wow,
I would just, like, blow her off and tell her, yeah, that's not my kid. I mean, yeah, I had a different mindset back then. So,
right. So then
I try to blow it off, you know.
Right. So anyway, so then many years went by, right? And she got to more desperate tactics, it looks like. So she went on Facebook, and later on in your life, you were married, right, to someone else, and you have other kids.
Right.
And she contacted your wife, right?
Yeah. So she still tried to contact me through Facebook, and she saw that I was married to my wife. And then she contacted her, and this happened about 6-7 months ago. During Christmas time, and I had to come out with the truth, and I really wanted the truth to come out somehow.
Really?
But
it's interesting. So you had never told your wife about it, right?
No, nobody knew about this. Only
wow.
I did.
And you were married, and you had other kids, and then your wife's getting this strange person writing her talking about, did you know your husband has another child that he never told you about? That must have been a shock.
Yes. Oh, yeah, it was crazy. I mean, she handled it like a champ. I don't know how she did it, but she's actually the stronger one in the family.
She's
like emotionally.
Very, very forgiving, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, we have a very strong bond together. I think that's the only reason why we're going through this together.
Right. No, it's really impressive to me. She's a very special woman that she was able to kind of process it all. And then your children also, your children find out that they have a half sister, right? That they didn't even know about.
Yeah, my daughter's 8 years old, so she was really excited to find this out.
Great.
And,
like a new adventure.
Yeah.
Oh, and a 1 year old.
I have a 1 year old. Yeah, he doesn't really understand, but
right. Well, he'll figure it out. You know, Tom talked about this in the past, that if he ever had a long-lost child, he didn't want that child to show up and start knocking on his door or whatever, which I could kind of understand, you know. It's sort of like this very big disruption. What I remember in your case especially was that, you know, she was very angry at you, and that's how women tend to be when you have children with them, and you blew her off, so she had reason to be angry, I suppose. And she was contacting your wife to kind of blow things for you, to tell her, hey, you know, your husband's actually an asshole and look what he did and all this. And then ultimately you hired me around that time and we turned it around on her, right?
Oh yeah, she didn't expect that at all.
I thought that was brilliant. She turns around and she was like, you know, kind of trying to harass your life and turn things upside down. And then
right.
I contacted her and I said, okay, if he has a child with you and you're telling us this, then he wants custody, and he wants to see the child. He wants visitation. And that just absolutely blew her mind, right?
Oh, yeah. We caught her by surprise there.
So, I thought that was, you know, a really interesting tactic. I also thought that mainly, you know, she was contacting you out of greed, that she was trying to get child support or whatever. But that turned out to not exactly be right. It looks like she has maybe, I think, 5 more children since your child with her?
Well, she has three smaller children, and she's currently pregnant.
Oh, there you go. So she's doing that. I don't think she's ever worked in her whole life, and she's living off the government or whatever. I think she still lives with her parents at a pretty advanced age and pumping out all these kids with random fathers. But the really fascinating part of your story, and this is what I meant about Lemons to Lemonade, is that we went to court and we got you your rights to your child, and you ended up meeting her, right?
Yeah, I met her about a month ago.
What was that like?
I mean, I was waiting for her in the parking lot. We went to the mall.
Right.
So I was waiting for her in the parking lot. I saw her drive up. She came out of the car, and I just hugged her for like 3 minutes straight.
Wow.
You know, it was amazing. Words can't explain how I felt at that time. It was something that I knew I wanted, and with your help, we achieved it.
Wow. Now, you know, it's hard to know. I mean, seriously, there are a lot of people that look up, you know, not the same as you, of course, but like they look up their natural parents because they're adopted or whatever, and they expect to have this happy reunion. And a lot of times it doesn't happen, you know, but it's fascinating to me that after all of this, when we turned it around on the mother and said, fine, you want to do this, let's do this. we want, you know, visitation and custody, and then we got it for you in court and everything, and then, you know, you go and have this reunion with your long lost child, and it ended up being a positive thing, right? I mean, you're like, you know, I mean, it's only a month ago, but so far it's been pretty good, right?
Oh yeah, she's so sweet, man. She's so sweet. She's the total opposite of her mother.
Thank God for that.
And I think the reason why is because her grandma was the main person who raised her.
Oh, right.
Not the mom. That's what she tells. This is what my daughter tells me.
Right.
So she's more attached to her grandma.
And she wasn't angry at you. She didn't feel like abandoned and all that stuff.
You know, she just asked me. The first time we met, she asked me that. Why did you leave?
Right.
And I just told her the truth. What I just told you guys. You know, I was young, immature, stupid,
right,
a coward. I just ran away. But I can't make it up for all that lost time that we didn't have. But I just want to start a new beginning with her, and that's what I told her.
Right. I think it's a fascinating thing. I have to say that part of me, you know, really agrees with Tom that I don't want my life to be, you know, disrupted. And if I've got a long-lost child somewhere, don't tell me. I don't want to know, you know? And I'm not even talking about financially. I don't need my whole existence turned upside down that it turns out I've got this kid out there somewhere. But on the other hand, you know, it's almost, in a way, I'm almost jealous of you. It's like you had this kind of this buried treasure, you know? And, you know, I think, how old is she, like 11 or 12 now?
She just turned 11.
11. So she sort of reemerges, you know, and you're kind of in a different phase of your life. You weren't just like 18. Now you're like a little older. You're married. You know, have a job. You're doing your own thing. And then it's like this thing came, and it's like, you know, she's your daughter, and she's, you know, really excited to meet you. You know, I expected her to be much more hostile. I thought she'd be angry. You know, she'd always have like a kind of a chip on her shoulder. But instead,
yeah,
she's actually really happy to see you. And I just think that's really wild. I mean, I don't know what to say about it. You don't see the dimensions of it. It must be shocking to you in some way.
Oh yeah, so many emotions have been going through my head, through my body. I mean, it's been a wild roller coaster, but it's getting better, you know. You know, me and my wife are still having issues, but
yeah,
we're getting through it, you know.
Yeah, I think it's heavy for her. It's like,
and until you have a kid
on
and understand that love between you know, a father and a child, you don't understand what you're missing. And that's really what happened to me when I had my kids. That love that I have for them, I wanted to have that same thing with my lost daughter.
Right.
And yeah, you know, only parents understand that kind of love.
Right. Right. You know, it seems like when you talk about, you know, this sort of, you know, coming back after all this time, you know, I have a lot of cases of guys who had a very hostile situation with the mother of their child. And they, you know, they were with the child when it was 1 or 2 years old or whatever. So they knew the child a little. But then the mother was so awful that they got away and they didn't see the child for years. And now the child, you know, 15, 16 or whatever, they start thinking, you know, people say, well, once my kid gets to be an adult when he's 18 or whatever, then I'll contact him or whatever, you know, because they figure the mother will be out of it and won't be through this filter of all the hostility that she brings. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that works. And, you know, Tom has often talked about when you are one of these kind of mixed up young guys, you know, let's say in your 20s, and you didn't have your father, you had a single mother. Tom said, you know, you should find your father, you know, go look up your father. And
yeah.
I think Mother's Day is like this week and Father's Day is coming up in a few more weeks next month or whatever. It's like one of those things, like, you know, you do want to have that connection to your parent, and Tom has always encouraged that. And at the same time, you know, I talked to so many guys that had lost contact with their children. And your story is kind of in between because she's not 18, you know, she's 11 or whatever. So she's still, you know, I mean, she hasn't seen you in a long time. She doesn't really know you. But at the same time, it's like not a complete catastrophe because, like, if she can, like, you know, forgive you and it seems like she's not that angry or whatever, which I think is amazing, you know, you're still going to be able to have some kind of positive impact on her life. And I just was really proud and happy to have been a part of that with you. That we went in there and you know, the mother was being a bitch, which we expected. I think that she contacted your wife on Facebook out of just being nasty, You know, she wrote nasty messages. I read them. They weren't nice. She was just trying to be a bitch, and we took it and we shoved it up her ass, which I love the best. I really mean it. We stuck it to her. And we said, really? Oh, yeah? He's a jerk, and he's no good, and he doesn't see his daughter? You know what? We want him to see his daughter. You're right. You know, let's do it your way. I love that. I love when you, like, when you turn, it's judo, you turn your enemy's strength against them, you know? So you say, okay, really? That's how you want to be about this? Fine. You know what? You're right. He should be in his daughter's life. When can we have the first visitation? And then she immediately was like, F that. I'm not going to agree to that. And I was like, oh, really? Okay, fine. Then you'll be receiving a lawsuit from me this week. You know? I just thought that was beautiful. It absolutely blew her mind. And now you're there. You're the father. You're seeing your daughter. You guys are, you know, it's going to take time. You're patching up whatever you're doing. And I don't know if she's only going to see you a couple of times or you're going to, you know, really involve her in your life. That remains to be seen. But I think it's a fascinating thing that you sort of, like, made this mistake years ago, and now you've turned it around, and you've made it into something positive. You know, Pablo, I think that's a beautiful thing. I really do.
Yeah, I'm just trying to do the right thing, you know, and this is it. And without Tom's help, without his show and you being there, I mean, this could have gone a different way. And I just want to really thank you and Tom for being there. And you took control of that inside that courtroom. I mean, you took control, man. That was awesome what you did in there. You didn't even let the other lawyer talk. That was awesome.
That's great.
I was like, yes, this is why I'm paying you.
I'm glad you noticed. I appreciate it.
And you didn't even talk about the other lawyer, that piece of shit lawyer that she hired.
She was funny. She didn't have a lawyer for a while, and then she hired somebody. I guess she was desperate, and he was not very good, let's just say. He didn't put up too much of a fight. He was kind of uninterested. I think he took her money, and that was about it. He didn't really care what was going on. He wasn't, like, returning calls or anything. But you hear that, Tom? He gave you credit, too. Did you catch that?
I did.
That's not the usual.
Thank you so much.
But that's not usually the usual Likas advice, right? I mean, this was kind of a little contrarian. But you see how it could work out sometimes, Tom. It's not impossible.
Someone will win Powerball this weekend. It just won't be me, and it won't be him.
Speaking of Powerball, Pablo's got a wife. I mean, she must be a unicorn. She's not angry. She, like, processed the whole thing. When I first spoke to him, Tom, I was really afraid that the second thing I was going to be doing for Pablo was helping him get a divorce, that his wife was going to be furious, you know, that he had a child that he forgot to tell her about or whatever, is now coming to visit or whatever, right? Can you imagine his wife accepted that? She's, like, cool with that somehow?
Again, even a broken clock is right twice a day.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you coming on, Pablo. I wanted you to show the boys it's possible. And I'm not saying, like, I agree with everything you did. We know the story. You know, there's no reason to make you feel bad about it. But I think based on your circumstances and some of the mistakes you made as a young man, which we all make mistakes, I think you really, you know, took what you had and turned it into something reasonable and something good. And, you know, this reunion, and Tom, you support this. I know you do. You know, the son, but this was a girl, but it doesn't matter. The child sort of finding their parent and trying to, you know, make some kind of a connection aside from just the things that the single mother has said. You got to figure that this girl had her single mother telling her for all these years, you know, your father's a jerk and he's no good and he doesn't care about you. And was she, you know, was able to be fixed in some way where she's not just going to be another screwed up girl who has daddy issues. You know, she's going to be someone that missed her father for many years, found her father, reunited with him. And maybe they end up having a really decent relationship now. And it ends up being something positive for everyone concerned, even his children that didn't know about her, like this 8-year-old girl who's the younger daughter who's beyond excited that she found out now she has an older sister. I mean, that's pretty wild. I'd be very shocked if I found out I had an older brother or a younger sister I didn't know about. That would blow my mind. But, I mean, that's really, I think, a very wild thing, and it was a killer. And I'm really glad that we were able to do that, Pablo. It was really cool.
Yeah.
One of the highlights of my career, to be honest.
Oh, thank you.
No doubt about it.
All right.
And thanks for coming on. I know you were a little nervous to tell your story, but I think it's good for the boys to hear these things.
And, yeah, I wanted everybody to know the story, and maybe somehow you know, if they're in the same situation, hey, contact Adam because he gets the job done. Trust me.
Well, what do you think? What would you tell a guy who's got a kid out there that he hasn't seen for years and years or whatever? I mean, just give up or try or who knows?
You're asking me or him?
I was asking him, but I guess I could ask you too, Tom. I'm afraid what you might say.
We know what
well,
I'm going to say.
Everybody's different. Well, you know, if I've said, if you think you're my son or daughter, do not come to my front door.
Okay.
That's what I've said.
All right. We got
that's
that.
That's not me. But for those who do want to do it, there are ways you can make that happen.
The thing about it is, Tom, honestly, I know that it could have gone different, you know. It worked out for Pablo, and it didn't have to. It could have been a real nightmare. I mean, after even the legal case and everything, maybe he meets the daughter and she, you know, spits in his face or whatever, you know. But, you know, it's obviously a very individual thing. Like I was saying about the people that look up their natural parents after they've been adopted, you know. Maybe the parents are happy to see them. Maybe they're horrified to see them, you know. So I think there's a little bit of difference for everybody. But I just thought that, you know, having made a terrible mistake, I thought it was so amazing that Pablo was able to go back in there and turn it around. And I would say to all the guys out there, you know, whatever your story is, if you've got these long-lost kids or whatever, maybe Tom's right. Maybe that's for you. And maybe Pablo's right. Maybe that's another way to go. And obviously it's up to you, but you definitely have to consider it very carefully because it's a big decision in life. And if you have a child out there, to just blow that child off is a heavy thing to do. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks, Pablo. I really appreciate it.
All right, Tom.
Yes, sir.
Do me a favor. Take me out old school.
Oh, I can do that, Pablo. Here you go.
So, Tom, he must have mentioned you 100 times, Tom. I'm serious.
Wow.
He said you were his inspiration and you were the, you know, what kept him going and knowing what to do and everything. So there's that.
Well, I like that. I certainly do. I'm going to take a break here. We're going to come back with your calls for Adam Sachs. We have calls already on hold. And we're going to get to yours as well. Free legal advice for you. Call this number right now, 901-3000 Tom. That's the number on this bonus hour. 901-3000 Tom. Dial right now. 901-3000-866.
Free at TomEverywhere.com. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. This is where you can call in and get free legal advice from family law attorney Adam Sachs. And the way you do that is call this number right now, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That's the number. 901-3000-866. Here is Michael in San Jose. Michael, you're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hello, Professor. I have a question for Adam Sachs regarding foreign brides and getting a prenup. I know I heard the show before where he doesn't recommend it because it's supposed to be very difficult, but if one of them wanted to bang their head against a wall, as you say, what would be the most prudent way to do it?
It's a tough one, Michael. It really is. You know, one of the basic principles of a prenup is it has to be done voluntarily without any pressure. A lot of people call me and they tell me, you know, we have a wedding date next month, you know, May the 20th or whatever it is. And, you know, we've already rented the place and the hall and we have everything all set up. And I want to write a prenup right now before the wedding. And they think it's okay, but it's not. It's too late because the wedding is close and it's coming. And that suggests that the prenup has to be done right now under pressure and that could invalidate it. I don't know exactly what country we're talking about, but in general, when guys want to bring a foreign woman from another country, they bring with what's called a fiancé visa. That's a K-1 visa. And the reality about that is the woman gets the right to come to the United States with you as your fiancé, or by herself, by the way, and then you have to get married within 90 days for her to get legal status. I'm just saying.
This is specifically Chile, which has a visa like Europe, so I was wondering how that would play.
Well, let me finish my thought, and I'll tell you how that goes, too. So,
Sorry.
Like I said, if the woman comes within the K-1 visa, and then she has to get married within 90 days. If she starts working on a prenup, that suggests that it was done under the pressure of the 90 days. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, if you have a woman, I mean, you said to Chile, that's a great country, by the way. It's beautiful. I've been there. Fantastic. Really good people, nice people. If you've got someone who's terrific, and I mean, I would look at a few factors with a foreign bride. Does she speak English? How big is the age difference between you guys? You know, is it ridiculous? Are you 50 years older than her?
No, it's not bad.
All right, not bad. Does she have other kids? What's her background? Is she educated?
Oh, no kids.
Et
I wouldn't want to use bride.
I'm just saying. So okay. If she's able to come to the United States as a tourist, for example,
exactly.
And then that takes the pressure off of that whole 90-day K visa thing. However, her tourist visa may only be 90 days, or it might be half a year, 180 days.
And I believe it's 90 days last time I looked.
Well, I understand, but that puts that same kind of time factor thing on her. And again,
okay.
If you want to make sure, you have to get mm-hmm. her own lawyer, so she
sure.
has to do it right. Tom's talked about this a few times. You have to have a retired judge oversee the ceremony of making the prenup. You should videotape
it. With a video camera.
You got to do it. Not just a video camera. You need a videographer, somebody, to actually do it right. And you're not the one with the video camera. You need someone professional. There are people who do this professionally. And you've got to not skimp on it. You've got to really make it happen. And, I mean, broadly speaking, you know, you already have this girl chosen, I suppose. You have to really...
No, not at all. It's,
I thought you were saying Chile.
Like,
I thought this was someone in particular.
Like a bullpen and old flames. But I just wanted, like you're saying, plan way ahead.
Oh, well, that's a lot of planning. I would just say, I don't know, you got to really be aware, you know, is she sincerely, this is the question, is she, you know, sincerely interested in living with you in the United States and having a family with you and in love with you? The problem is that if she's just generally wanting to get the F out of where she is, which I know Chile isn't so bad, but there are a lot of places where guys get foreign brides where the women want to get the hell out as bad as possible. So, you know, they want to get out of their country. They want to get to the United States. And that's really the objective, not you. They don't want to be with you in the United States. They want to be in the United States. And so the problem is once you bring her to the U.S. and she moves in and everything, all the luster of that whole idea is now gone. And she's looking at you and she's saying, you know, I'm in the U.S. What do I need him for? I could get someone better, younger, faster, whatever, you know. And that's a big problem, especially with, I think, the huge age differences. Where guys, I mean, I don't know, about 10 years, 20 years, when you're talking about amazing amounts of age difference. And, you know, a lot of times, I mean, I've seen these guys in, you know, particularly Russia and Ukraine, you know, they hook up with a 22-year-old and they're in their 50s or their 60s, you know. I mean, it, you know, I don't know if she really loves you. You know, you're like her grandfather, essentially. So you have to be a little aware of that. You know, the other side of what you're saying, what you're also, 1 second, the other side of what you're saying is also really interesting to me. And we saw a documentary about guys that go to Brazil, for example. I mean, it's really nice, like you've done, to go to these countries yourself. You can go to Chile and hang out with all kinds of girls, Colombia, Argentina, Brazil, whatever, and have a great time and then be single. I don't know why these guys are so committed, you know, to the idea of bringing a woman back to the USA. What's that about? Why do you want to do that so much? Aren't you having a great time going there?
I just want a decent baby machine. I know there's nothing here in the States that would suffice.
So say that again. You want to have a family?
I just
want
a decent baby machine, and I know nothing here in the States would suffice.
Yeah, I agree with that. But so you're talking about a Chilean woman who really is ready to have a child, and she's going to be a great mother. That's the idea.
Right. It's a Catholic country, so there's plenty of those.
All right. Listen, I hope it works for you. Be careful. I think trying to get a prenup is probably a good idea. And, you know, call us in a year and 2 years and tell us if it worked out. I really hope it does. I mean, I have met guys that have married women from, you know, other countries that are, like, happy beyond happy. So it is possible. I just am very nervous about it and very skeptical of it. And I've heard, to be honest with you, I've heard a lot of real horror stories. So,
What I was wondering. What would you say is the proper age range where it's not so crazy, like late 20s, early 30s?
The problem is, once you start to be in the late 20s and early 30s, she's going to have a kid. You know, you're going to meet a woman that already has a kid or two with some guy. Certainly in Russia, it's very much like that. It's certainly like that in Colombia. Most of the girls that I met are just in general had a kid. You know, they were in their mid-20s.
Okay, I know before you mentioned that, like, you're liable for everything when she comes over because your name's on the docs and stuff.
Absolutely.
If she gets on welfare or something. So I was wondering, on the tourist visa, am I liable for anything she does on her own?
No, not unless you sponsored her in some way. I think that I'm just trying to remember, but is Chile a visa waiver country?
Yes, it's a 90-day right. tourist thing, just like Europe.
Yeah,
that's what
so,
I was wondering.
So that means, for those who do not understand, there is a special list of countries that have special relationship with the United States that you don't need a visa to come to the United States. So, well, I mean, you don't need to get one in advance. So basically, normally you have to go to the embassy and do a whole application. She can fly to the United States as a Chilean citizen, and when she mm-hmm. arrives at the airport, they stamp her passport with a visa, usually for 90 days, like you said, and it can be extended to like half a year. But
okay.
you're not particularly liable for, you know, for any reason. I mean, I don't think. You're not connected
okay.
to her in that sense. She's just a regular tourist. What you're talking
okay.
about, which is really significant, is if you marry her and get her permanent residency, you have to sign
sure.
an affidavit of supporting her and that you're going to take responsibility. So if she becomes a ward of the state or she gets
mm-hmm.
welfare or public benefits or even student loans, if it costs mm-hmm. the government anything, you can have be required to reimburse that for up to 10
okay.
years. And I've seen guys get bills for six figures for shit like that.
Oh.
So
wow.
you got to be really smart about this. I mean, you know, in the end, when you get married to anyone, foreign or not, you're trusting that person an awful lot. And as, you know, we've talked about on the show a lot, it's a real gamble. You're really playing Russian roulette. And even if she's terrific now, maybe she'll change. But I can tell you
yeah,
this,
well,
you might mm-hmm. want to hire a detective in Chile to do a background on her. And you have to ask
right.
yourself, where did you meet her? Did you meet her in a nice way, or did you meet her in a whorehouse? You know, did you meet her online where she's searching for like a sugar daddy or something? I mean, it's a lot different. You got to be really
sure.
smart about that because,
well,
you know.
That's what I was thinking of, just bringing a party girl over, you know, on her tourist visa.
Oh,
so
that's
if I don't
fine.
Have any liabilities, we
yeah.
party,
oh,
we send
yeah.
her back, and if we get along, we get along. If we don't, whatever.
So what you should tell her in advance is, look, come here for 3 months, and we're going to see mm-hmm. how we do, okay? And if we're doing okay, we'll extend it for another 3 months to 6 months. And then you go
okay.
back, and I'll come
mm-hmm.
to Chile and see you. And if we're still getting along, maybe then we'll get married, you know?
Okay.
And just have that 6 months and see how it goes and see if you're feeling that connection to her or whatever. And I guess
right.
if not, or who cares either way, you can trade her in for another one and you haven't lost anything. You don't have anything at risk. You know?
That's the game plan.
The only
well,
danger,
one more
second, is if you really want to be careful. I mean, if she's staying with you, she
mm-hmm.
could get a restraining order against you and kick you out of your house. Well,
oh,
women
wow.
can always do that, so be careful.
Airbnb, then.
Well, she could say that you punched her and smack her face into the wall and get a something looking like a bruise and show it
wow.
to the cops. And believe me, they're very sophisticated about these things, these girls. So...
Mm-hmm.
All around, there's a lot of potential dangers you got to watch out for.
Okay, and having a kid outside the country is more difficult than having them born here in the States in terms of paperwork?
Well, if you're an American citizen and you have a child anywhere in the world,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter. You go to the local embassy of the United States and register that child, and that child will be a U.S. citizen right away. They'll literally
awesome.
they'll literally hand you a passport.
Okay.
For that child, you know, with some exceptions. But basically, if you were to be with her in Chile or whatever, and she had the kid in Chile, you can register
yeah.
that child as a U.S. Citizen because you're a U.S. citizen, and it shouldn't be a problem at all. You know, they might just have to wait a few days for some, you know, paperwork or something. But,
okay.
again, rights are different in different countries. And in some countries, you know, you may not have the right to take the child out of the country without her consent or whatever. So even
mm-hmm.
if the child's a U.S. citizen, it might be stuck in South America unless she agrees to come, and she may not agree to come unless she comes also. And that's
okay.
how she can kind of backdoor you. So in other words, you don't want to bring her to the U.S. You're not getting along. You just want to take the kid, and she won't let you. So then
sure.
you're screwed. If you love your kid, you're going to have to take her and the kid, and maybe she's going to drive you up the wall once she
or
gets
make another
there.
Kid.
I understand. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things that go on with women where, you know, even when they seem terrific, once you have a kid, a lot of times the woman's personality really changes for the worse. It happens
oh, yeah.
to a lot of guys.
Talked a lot about that.
Yeah.
They get recharged after the baby.
It's not a joke. If you're with her,
also.
You know, see, I'm talking a lot of times now with you about, you know, a woman with bad intentions who's concealing a secret plan or something. But I
mm-hmm.
think a lot of times they don't have any bad intentions and they're not concealing a secret plan. They're just effed up. And after a while, you know, you're going to have a good time and everything's fine, and then things are going to change, and then she's going to become impossible to deal with. And you won't even recognize her. You'll be like, what happened to Miss Fun-Loving, you know? And
yeah.
now you have Miss Attitude. So,
this thing, friends in their relationships.
This thing you said about having fun for 6 months and sending her back, I think that's brilliant.
Okay, and I just got to avoid her filing a beating claim on me or
well,
something.
Well, I mean, you know, you have to kind of think about how crazy she is.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you should have some sense, you know. There should be something. I mean, I'd like to be able to think if you're dating a woman for a few months, you know she's not, quote-unquote, the type to, like, press mm-hmm. charges against you. But you never
sure.
know.
Okay. Wow. Thank you very much. This information is gold.
For
I really
sure.
appreciate it.
Be careful, man. Foreign brides, man. Be careful.
Thank you very much, Hebrew Hammer. And thank you, Professor. Can you take me out
Michael?
With a bong hit, please?
You bet I will. Here you go.
No cough.
All right, 901-3000. Tom, that is our telephone number. It's the bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. We do this every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. If you would like some free legal advice from family law attorney Adam Sachs, you can call him right now. 901-3000 Tom is the number. 901-3000 Tom, dialing you right now. 901-3000-866.
Serving the universe from an old laundromat in Burbank. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. And 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. Bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-866. Adam, if people want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Well, you can call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check me out on Facebook or on the World Wide Web at www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me an email, which I answer myself personally and read, of course, myself, adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right, there you go. Now, if you want to talk to Adam, you've got a question. This is the last segment. So here's your chance to get your question in to Adam at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM is the number. It's 901-3000-866. Medicinal marijuana.
Uh-huh.
We've mentioned this before, but what happens if you're in a custody case and the doctor says, well, for your glaucoma, I'm going to write you a prescription for some marijuana.
Oh, my.
Can that information be used against the father of a child?
Oh, it's problematic, Tom. Let me tell you. I have something related, very interesting, and I'll get to marijuana as well. I have a guy right now, a current client of mine, a really great guy and a good father, and he's a veteran. And, you know, I thought we respect veterans. I thought people venerated veterans, our heroes and defenders of our country. But what's amazing is, like many other veterans, he saw some horrible stuff in war, as you do, and he came back and he's been diagnosed as having post-traumatic stress disorder, which is very common. And I don't think that means that anything's wrong with him. I think that he's a perfectly normal person who's reacted to fighting in a war, and it happens to a lot of veterans. Well, I'm sorry to tell you this, Tom, but the mother of his child and her lawyer are so completely out of control that they brought this up as an issue. So in other words, they're trying to chip away at his rights as a father and chip away at his custody and visitation, and they're saying that the reason that he has to see less of his child and he can't have joint custody and all this is because he has post-traumatic stress disorder and he might get violent or he might be a danger to the child or he might freak out or something. And this is so disgusting. And I got to tell you, marijuana is exactly in the same category. You know, when these people sit down and start writing this up and they're trying to find reasons to put shit on you as a father, to try to say that you're a danger or that, you know, to cast aspersions on your parenting, they'll go for anything. And if they're going to go for PTSD, for a war hero, they will say, you know, blah, blah, he shouldn't have his child because he's a marijuana user. And even if you have a good reason, like glaucoma or whatever, or even if it's just backache. I mean, whatever. You have a prescription for it in this state. It's legal in this state, California, and it's legal in a lot of other states now. And, you know, the trend is that it's not this killer weed and class A narcotic. It's actually starting to be more accepted. But mother, I'm sorry to say, or father for that matter maybe, will bring it up. And you'll remember that we had Bruce Margolin on the show, and he's one of my heroes, and he's a big defender of marijuana. And he pointed out that the original marijuana laws and the legalization of marijuana in California in particular made a whole thing about this, that there was no negative inference to draw that somebody's using marijuana that it would hurt them in a custody case. But you got to be realistic. You know, you're dealing with a judge, and the judge is a human being, and a lot of them are just going to sit there and say, look at this father or whoever, he's a stoner, he's not necessarily responsible. And then there's going to be a whole conversation about, you know, well, how often do you smoke, and do you smoke when the kids are around, do you smoke in front of the kids, are you high when you pick up the kids, are you high when you're driving the kids, you know, and this is going to be a big problem for anybody. So, I mean, custody battles are so disgusting, they're so ugly. And, you know, you have this irrationality where they're trying to figure out, you know, who's the better parent. And they almost always choose the mother, but they're not supposed to think that way. They're supposed to be sex neutral. So when they look at it in general, with all those prejudices of the mother being the better parent, and, you know, mothers are actually usually the cause of death of the children. And children that die and children that are abused and children that are sexually abused, it's almost always a woman who does that abuse. It's very unusual for a father to kill their child. It's much more common for a mother to do it or for a mother to sexually abuse or physically abuse their child. Most child abusers are women. That's a fact. And that's something that our society doesn't know. So if you're a dad and you're smoking weed and, you know, this is something that's out in the world that the mother knows about, you can expect it's going to be used against you. And it is a problem. It's something that I've dealt with in many cases. This case I mentioned of this guy with the PTSD, it is so nauseating. It's so disgusting to have to deal with that. This poor guy served the country and comes back with this problem, and he's dealing with it. He's a good person. He's not ignoring it. He's taking some kinds of medicine and getting therapy. And bitch mother has the nerve to be collecting part of his military money and suing for part of his military pension. But at the same time, she wants to hurt him as a father by saying that he's dangerous or he's going to hurt the child because of his trauma from the war experience that he had. And this is, unfortunately, the ugly world of family law, where things get turned upside down. And it's not just a question of the mother in court trying to show that she's a good parent or a better parent. She also, at the same time, is trying to say that the other parent is a bad parent. And that's really bad. It's really problematic. So I don't know, if you're a user of marijuana in that way and you're dealing with some kind of custody thing, you got to tell me about that up front. We got to mention it to the court and admit to it, own it, and move along. You know, it's not something that you want to kind of dance around, because it is going to come up, and, you know, it's like no holds barred, basically. You know, it's all fair in love and war. So if they got it and it exists and it's out there, they are going to use it. I mean, they are going to use it. You can count on it.
Now, will that change at all when supposedly and within the next year,
right,
recreational marijuana will be legal? You know, is it any worse than having a beer, especially if under the law they're the same thing?
You know, Tom, we've had a lot of cases where the parents are admonished in the court papers not to drink alcohol in front of a child or not to be drunk when the child's around. So I don't even know what that means. So if I have my child, let's say, on the weekends, and I can't have a few drinks Saturday night or whatever, when the child's around, then I'd be drunk. So isn't that bad? And there's a lot of admonishments in court documents not to smoke cigarettes in front of the child. I mean, you know, we really get crazy about this stuff. And, you know, you have the mother or the other parent, whoever it is, dying to find a violation. And if something happens, they're going to jump on it, you know. And they're going to come into court and say, last weekend he was smoking or drinking or whatever, and he did it the whole weekend, and the kids were traumatized, and therefore he shouldn't have visitation anymore, you know. It's really something that you have to be aware of. And in a lot of ways, when you're going through custody like this and these kinds of fights, as the parent, you got to be Mr. Perfect, because you are definitely put underneath the microscope. And every little nonsense thing that you do, even things that you do at work, things that aren't that important or don't seem important, you have your girlfriend sleep over or whatever, all of a sudden it becomes, you know, something that's in the court papers. And on so-and-so weekend, you know, he had this slut that he just met staying at the house, and the children were exposed to her, and they're traumatized, and, you know, try to turn every little thing into a really big negative. And, you know, I've seen cases where, you know, kids are kids. A kid falls down, has a little bruise, no big deal. You know, it happens to kids. It's good for them in a way to kind of experience life. and the mother writes it up, you know, that the during the father's care time, Junior got a bruise on his leg, and he was hurt very severely because of neglect, and the father wasn't watching him and allowed him to take dangerous steps and, you know, was not responsible, and, I mean, everything becomes a drama. So you got to be really careful, especially when you're in that phase of going through the case, which can last years, that, you know, you're under the microscope. Everything you do is going to be scrutinized.
All right, Adam, once again, how can people get in touch with you?
You can definitely call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320.
There you go. There's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. If you missed your chance to call in here, you can always call in. The next bonus hour is coming up Tuesday, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's News 4 Guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Oh, yeah.
Once again, research shows that Sunday is the big day to bang.
Yeah, this is backed up from an earlier report that we did, but this is some serious data that had been crunched.
Sure.
And it's an analysis of Instacart data, which offers grocery and other delivery from local stores.
Right.
This time they looked at what people is buying, and that includes condoms.
Well, doesn't that just kind of prove that people tend to buy condoms on Sunday? Does it really mean that they're getting laid on Sunday? You know?
That's true.
Yeah.
And by the way, does Sunday, it technically starts at midnight, you see, at 12:01.
Ah, you see.
So,
yes.
You could be getting down, I see, on Saturday night.
Right.
But technically, you're fucking by Sunday.
It counts as Sunday.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. Hopefully,
see,
yeah.
Look at
yeah.
the data.
Right.
Like I do. By the way, it says also.
Are you crunching the numbers?
Of course.
Yeah.
I take after Tom.
Oh, don't soil his reputation.
No, I leave. By the way, I leave everything to him. If I could, I would call him up even from a gas pump and say, "How much should I put in here at this price?" But the Journal of Sexual Medicine published a story in 2014, which mm-hmm. basically says that women in relationships were doing it on the weekends more. So you know, there's that.
There is that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Fine, don't let them have sex on Sundays, whatever.
An Olympic hopeful is accusing her former University of Arizona track and field coach mm-hmm. of sexually abusing her and stalking her and blackmailing her. This is a crazy story.
Yeah. I want to point out that's U of A, right. Not Arizona State. Right. Yes, U of A. Very different.
Apparently, at one point, these two got, or at least she got drunk enough that they had sex together, and he took pictures of her and used those pictures to blackmail her.
Wow.
And when she called him out in his office, he apparently choked her and pulled out a box cutter and threatened to cut her up. So there's that.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, well, you probably shouldn't sleep with your coach, regardless of how drunk you get. But yeah, that's not excusable.
By the way, coach,
behavior in any way, shape, or form.
Coach Carter, Mr. Carter says that he didn't deny that he physically assaulted her in that meeting.
Yeah.
He told ESPN's Outside the Lines, "I'm in a lot of trouble. I never touched her in my life until that day.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for that. There's really no excuse, but." I was told, you know, a lot of things for 3 years, and you don't know that she got in my face and was pushing me and saying, hit me, hit me, hit me. It doesn't matter, Coach. Got to, can't be doing it.
He's married, you know, and that's that's probably got the children's. And Horshack isn't happy about it either. NFL lineman Michael, is it Orr?
Orr.
How do you even
Orr.
Pronounce that?
Yeah. But you say the blind side.
The blind side guy, yeah.
Yeah, the real one, though.
Right.
Not the movie one. The actual dude.
Right. He apparently got into it with an Uber driver, and he's been booked.
Right, he has been booked. The Uber driver claims Orr pushed him to the ground and kicked him in an argument after they had been discussing directions.
Mm.
So that's another thing.
It's incredible how you can run into like really incompetent Uber drivers, but you have to keep your cool. A lot of these guys are like, you know, you got cameras and the whole thing. You can't be whacking them around like some of these people.
No. And by the way, I just checked, you know, that you're rated as a customer. And I managed to find mine out.
How did you find yours?
I'm 5 stars. I got a new trick to the whole thing. I tip them the minute I get in.
I go, I don't tip
this
anybody.
This is just in case I forget. I give a couple of bucks there.
That's the Uber way, man.
I got 5 stars. So they're all rushing to pick my shit up.
I don't give a fuck what my
you stop.
No, I don't care.
Michael Orr said,
I don't care.
Give them the money.
The whole idea is that no cash is to be exchanged. That's the whole idea. What do? You're fucking it up for everybody else.
Don't worry about it.
No. By the way, I take Uber pool all the time. Nobody
oh, my God.
Tips.
I've never done that before.
No. Oh, it's the greatest thing in the whole world. So, you say, by the way.
Like to the airport, right?
I just talked to Timpson about this a couple of weeks ago. Half the time, you don't even get another ride that comes along with you. And you it's like half the price. Why are you being so stupid?
Well, I like to get to the airport like 3 hours early, and I would consider it then.
Right. Jody Sweeten's ex-fiance is going to do some time for gun possession. He's not going to state prison.
No, but he's doing 4 months in the hole, and you know that's a pain in the ass. And
is LA County Jail, is that the hole, or what do we call that?
What the fuck do they call it? The Twin Towers, I think,
is
what it is.
Finally, pig alert for you. Check out Alexis Wren.
What about Big Black, dude?
Well, Big Black is dead for you Howard Stern fans.
Big Black of MTV's Robin Big.
Oh, that's right. Robin Big. Yeah, sorry.
What's wrong with you?
Confusing the two shows.
Oh, my God.
That Big Black.
Not that one.
The one with the bulldog. I got a thing.
You have a shirt with him on.
Big Black is dead. Alexis Wren was mentioned on TMZ for taking ass selfies. It turns out... anybody that follows her, she doesn't take ass selfies. That's not what she does. She turns out that mostly other photographers take pictures of her ass. But now, because they've said that, she's taking lots
herself.
Of ass selfies. Yeah.
And it's really good.
R.I.P. Big Black.
45 years old, the Big Black, man. What's wrong with
What's
you?
He been doing all this time? Like,
he left the show early, too. By the way, Robin Big, great show. I don't care what you say, man.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, now you're going to say, oh, it wasn't good.
There's plenty more at newsforguys.com. And, of course, you can find our podcast at GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
I take after Tom.